Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
I do love, like, the Giants don't, they're not laying down. They'll come out there and fire a game at you. They went into Denver. Remember, they had them dead to rights, and then the Broncos came back from, like, 25 points down or something like that. But, like, they are the most fun bad team watch in the NFL, my opinion.
Yeah.
New York Giants.
They've got some weapons, and I have Wan'Dale Robinson on my fantasy team, so that's always fun to watch him run around and get, you know, 14 targets. But just last night, that thing was over before I even had a chance to get to the car across town.
Special teams killed him.
Yeah.
Special teams killed him, and, like, that has to win for most embarrassing play of the year. Does it not, of all plays? Have you ever seen a kicker just kick the ground?
That was embarrassing.
But, like, I get it if you get, it's, you, those of you who golf, you get it if you catch one a little chunky. He kicked a foot behind the ball.
Right.
And kicked only ground.
He kicked the ground.
And then I've never seen that before.
Poor punter's like, what's this ball still doing under my finger? I better try to do something. So now he's living out his dream. He's going to roll right. He's going, okay. You're not outrunning anybody, punter.
Oh, my God.
The only one that's close to as embarrassing, it happened in the Niner-Browns game where the Brown kick returner just caught it and got 2 feet in and went out of bounds at the 5-yard line.
Yeah, get my feet down.
Yeah.
I caught it, coach.
And I still think that many special teamers in the NFL don't understand the rules, the new rules, like the out of bounds, the touchback, the kick zone, the dirty ball. There's a lot to it now, but here's an idea. If you're about to catch a ball and you're near the sideline, just let it go.
Let it go.
Odds are it's not going to hit the ground and carry him back into the field.
Funny, Parcells used to have a whole thing about catch the ball. Do not let the ball fall. I feel like more often than not now, with all these new rules, I'm yelling at whoever's going to just get away from the ball. Like, the only really bad crap can happen if you catch a ball. Just don't touch the ball. Unless your name's Sky Moore. Hey, Grandy, do you have a Sky Moore poster in your room yet? Because you used to hate him, and he has become a full-blown freaking weapon for the Niners.
He's got to take one to the house for me to get a poster.
Dude, come on.
The 1-yard line's not enough.
Close enough. This guy's flipping fields on the weekly
right now.
He's been
great. They're
fantastic.
He's been equally great as bad as he was to begin the year.
Get that Skippy McDippy guy from Kansas City back on who ripped Sky Moore on this show.
Skippy McDippy?
Whatever his name is.
Carrington Harrison.
I was off that day.
His last name rhymes with his first name. It's very whimsical. You know what I'm saying.
He can't catch.
He ripped Sky Moore like I've never heard a radio host rip a player before. He owes Sky Moore a public apology on San Francisco radio.
No doubt. You know who can't catch is Larvadian or Larvadon.
Who?
The Browns rookie who had the punt just sail right through. And he fumbled earlier in the game. He was able to recover it. But
the Browns.
That thing just like, whop, right off the chest. And, you know, Steiny had a thing earlier about special teams. Like, can you really rely on it? Or is it like whimsical? And I was thinking about it driving in. And
he can't catch.
It's not that you can rely on it, but you can also, if you have a bad special teams unit like the Niners did last year,
man.
That, unfortunately, you can bank.
It'll kill you.
And you can bank on it.
It'll kill you.
Like Jake Moody, shout out Moody, who sent it into overtime on Sunday night with a clutch kick.
Yep.
But last year, he was completely mentally done. They couldn't cover a kick. They couldn't catch a punt. Daryl Luter Jr. stumbled into one. You were a mess last year. That you can bank on. What they've done lately, Sky Moore, you start to get, I'm sure he's starting to see the field like wide, wide open. You know, like when you're a baseball player and the ball looks like it's a watermelon and you're a basketball player and the rim looks like it's a giant ocean. That's where Sky Moore is now.
Whoever was in charge of naming special teams deserves a little bit of a raise because that's what they are, man. They're special. They totally change football games. How many special teams plays in a game? Like in a game?
I would
How
say.
How often are they out there? Seven, eight,
oh, no,
nine?
About 20.
Well, you get your kickoffs, You get your field goals.
Kickoffs and punts.
And then your punts.
Right.
Okay.
Kickoff, field goal, PAT, punt.
All right.
About 20.
I mean.
15 to 20.
Jeez, like, if you don't do it well, it'll ruin everything. And, you know, look at the Patriots last night, same thing. Like you said, ooh, that game was over before it started. And, yeah, Drake May was, he was slinging it, and they were moving the ball. But the Giants were moving the ball, too. But the problem was, is just 14, you know, whatever it was, 10-0, 14-0. Like, poop, that's it. Like, we go out there one time, get a first down or two. Oh, it didn't work out. It's 3-0. Punt the ball. Boom. Touchdown. Game over. That's it. Like, you're on the road on Monday night, and it's cold, and you're down double digits. And you're like, I like haven't even figured out where I want to sit on the bench yet. Special teams. Yeah, we watched it last year. We watched it. And for it, like, I've said this 1,000 times till I'm blue in the face, all the, how come Brock Purdy was 6-11 last year? Special teams and run defense ruined that season for all of the other players. Whoever you are, whether you performed poorly, mediocre, well, whatever. Like, the 49ers last year are an absolute book on how special teams can completely unseat a season.
Yeah, and yeah, I'm just looking at the playtime percentages from the game Sunday. Luke Farrell, the tight end for the Niners, he played in 19 special team snaps, which was 90%, which tells me that they had 21 special teams plays. And think about it, every drive either starts with a kickoff or starts with a punt or starts after a turnover.
Right.
And then first half kickoff, the second half kickoff, all those PATs and the field goals. And Sunday was a little bit of a punt fest. And I was telling Grandy yesterday, I was watching the game thinking, I love punts. Like, punt the ball, Niners. It's windy. Cleveland can't score.
Yeah.
Let's punt it up. Give me more Moorhead. And so that game was a special teams masterpiece because Cleveland was so bad on special teams.
It was, oddly, my number one takeaway of the game, which was I thought that the San Francisco 49ers collectively went into Cleveland and played what I would call the smartest football game of the year. So you can pick whichever individuals you want and highlight the things that they did over the weekend. That was the smartest game that the 49ers have played all year long. Cleveland made tons of mistakes. Go ahead, list the ones the Niners made.
They're few and far between. Fannin Jr. with a 34-yard touchdown reception when I think it was Gifford, the linebacker. He just fell down.
Yeah.
It was like watching under-six soccer. Shout out the Fireballs and guy Coach Questy, and you know somebody who kicked the ball and six of the eight players on the field would just fall.
Yeah,
and blades of grass tripping people up. So that was about the only mistake. And you gave up one sack to Myles Garrett. Well, yeah, it's like giving up a home run to Aaron Judge. It's gonna happen. He's gonna get you now.
Oh God, I would sign me up for one sack.
Right. And
against Cleveland.
And there was about 13 pressures, and he put a Hall of Fame move on a Hall of Fame tackle and, you know, tip the cap, score one for number 95. But outside of that, mistakes, there weren't many.
There were not many. There were no turnovers for the 49ers. I thought the, like, when should we punt? When should we push this downfield? The only one that for the moment felt a little surprising is when they fall down 8-7 and you don't have a whole lot of time left in the first half, but you get pretty good field position, and it's like, is Kyle going to push this down the field in the wind? Yes. George Kittle's going to make an unbelievable
cojones
catch.
Cojones, Shanahan,
right?
We call him.
But then puts the cojones away when you're at the 2 or 3 yard line.
At the 7.
Whatever it was.
Yeah.
I know.
4 seconds left.
Believe me, there were people.
Yep.
My phone, go for it! Yeah, you're drunk. Like, just kick the field goal.
Yeah.
Points at an absolute premium, and he almost missed the damn thing.
Doinker.
But like that, I just thought from Brock's throwaways, he never forced anything into coverage. He was the quarterback on Sunday that he promised to be before the season when he said, I got to stop trying to play hero ball.
Yeah, good point.
He was the quarterback on Sunday he promised to be. He runs one in, he throws one in. Turnovers, zero. He avoided the sack better than any QB in the game in this particular week. Smart football game all the way around.
Yeah, and a lot of it was predicated on the game plan and because of the wind. And I heard Steiny and Goo play the Shanahan cut earlier about why you took the ball. You won the toss and you took the ball. And it's because of the windy conditions. You wanted to make sure you had the wind in the fourth quarter. And so, I mean, it was a smart move and stuff. And I think it caught a lot of you by surprise and stuff because I always like to defer. I like to double up and stuff.
Here's Kyle, conference call yesterday.
Just because of the wind factor, I wanted a chance to choose to have the wind at our back in the fourth quarter. And that was the only way to get that done.
Do you kind of see that as a one-time deal that kind of unique circumstances dictated that? That'll probably rarely come up.
Yeah,
again.
I mean, that was solely just because I wanted to make sure. I mean, the way that wind is, it's hard to throw or kick for two quarters in that game. And we wanted to make sure that we were going to have it, if we needed to win on a last-second field goal or throw it into the game, that we had that in the fourth quarter if we could.
Smart football game, man. Really, 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 really smart football game all the way around.
And they took advantage of Cleveland having what I would call a dumb football game. And third quarter, Cleveland's got the wind, fourth and one at their own 33. We're going to go for it. And not only are we going to go for it, but we're going to bring in Fannin to take a direct snap so we can use him to sneak it. What, Shadur can't sneak it up in there? So you bring in Fannin. He doesn't even get the snap. Turnover on downs, or maybe it was a fumble recovery. Who cares?
Doesn't matter, yeah.
You're on the plus side of the field, and then even though you're going against the wind, you were able to march that thing down there and score and go up 17-8, and that was ball game.
Yeah, it's classic in the league right now. We've talked about it before. All of this fourth down stuff, it's funny, man. Sometimes this machismo, I think, really gets misinterpreted. Every single coach who ever gets interviewed about it and their players all say the same thing. Well, we're just thankful that our coach believes in us and thinks it. No, what your coach is actually doing is not believing in you. That's what your coach is doing. And that's how I think more of the guys take it than we realize. I mean, what does it say to Shadur Sanders that every time they get inside the 5-yard line or on fourth and one, let's get you off the field, bud. Come on over here, stand next to me.
Have an orange slice.
Like, what are you talking about? We believe in you. What are you talking about? Or we can't take three because we're acting like, I don't know if we're ever going to get back down here again, so we better get seven. Like, belief is do the right thing and trust that the next thing that's going to happen is going to be good too. But all of these coaches, man, that's not how it's done anymore. And I think you're seeing it all over the league. In fact, I think it has an effect on why so many of these teams can't separate from 8-4 and 7-5 and all of the parity that we're seeing is you're having too many games that quite frankly are miscoached and you're putting your players in a bad position.
It's risk reward and it's analytics. And so many of these analytics tell you that, yeah, you go ahead and you go for it here on fourth down. And reminds me a little bit of the Kapler Zaidi era where Jock Peterson hits a home run. And he comes up in, I think, the fourth inning, and now they've gone to a lefty, and the spreadsheet says, Jock, you don't get to hit against lefties.
We're going to pinch hit.
And Jock is thinking, I don't know if you saw my last AB skip, but I hit it over that fence-looking thing, and I got to touch all three bases and hit home.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Clayton, my teammates are slapping me on the rump, and now I don't get to hit?
Oh.
I do think that these decisions, and we could talk about the Sirianni one with Grandy because, you know, we had a disagreement in the crossover yesterday about whether or not he should have gone for two down nine with 3.5 to go against the Bears.
Oh,
and
good. Did you you did that on air?
My whole thing,
Dibs was right, by the way. I didn't even hear it, but he was right.
My whole thing is you have to include the human element.
Exactly.
And, you know, if you don't get it, like you pinch hit for Jock and he's thinking, well, screw this. I just hit a home run. Even though the analytics tell you it might be the right thing to do, you got to think about human beings.
My man. You have a stadium full of 65,000 people, and you have football players who are all hyped up. You are the team that's trailing. What you need on your side is Uncle Mo.
Mm.
You need Uncle Mo on your side. And everybody knows that with a handful of minutes to go, if you're down 9, you go for 2 and you don't get it, air is out of the stadium.
Human beings are out of the stadium.
Hit the parking lot, yep. Night. But if you just kick the extra point and make it 8, you get everybody all riled up. And now it becomes harder for the road team to do what they're going to do. And I would argue very, very much so that if you do then get that next touchdown and there's, let's say, 10 seconds left on the clock, and now I need 2 to tie the game, I got a better chance of getting that one because I got sphincters on the other side.
Oh, boy.
And I got Uncle Mo on offense, and I got a whole stadium that's ready to explode. You don't explode when you go from down 9 to down 7. That's just like, okay.
But if you're down 7, if you're down 7, then you will go crazy on third down when your defense is out there, make some noise, flashing, sure. Hoping you get a stop to get the ball back.
That's true for if you're down 8 also.
I'm totally with you.
But down 9, night.
Pretty much.
Ball game's over.
3:10 to go, and they did have a full rack of timeouts. So you're thinking, oh, we're going to get the ball back.
Sirianni. And.
Careful what you say about my guy, Nick. I'm Big Dom.
I
love that man.
I can't think of a Super Bowl champion being worse coached the following year than what I'm watching the Eagles do this year. You know who had a great game on that Friday, Black Friday game for the Eagles? You know who put up all the fantasy numbers that everybody wanted?
Yeah, I was going against him.
Go ahead.
A.J. Brown.
Guess what happens every time he has a good game?
They lose.
Uh-huh. Yep. Meanwhile, the offensive player of the year is over here picking daisies every single week, and they don't run the ball anymore. Now, every year is different. Lane Johnson's hurt. I understand all of that. But his end-of-game decisions, his play calling, all of the infighting, but all of the crap that they're dealing with in the locker room that seems completely just not addressed. I don't understand. I don't understand that football team. They're 8-4, like whatever. They're probably going to win their division, but I don't understand them. They should be so much better than they are.
Yeah.
And what a horrific 6 days for them. 21-0 lead on, so I guess it was 8 days. 21-0 lead against the Cowboys. And then you just watch that thing dissipate. And then you show up on Black Friday in your home building against a team that people think are paper tigers, and you got gashed. Gashed.
What do you mean? 47 carries for 281?
Gashed.
You call that gashed?
Dude, I mean wide open gaping holes constantly every time either running back touched the ball.
Manungai.
Kyle Manungai.
Went against him, too. So I went against Lubman, whose team we kind of were mocking earlier in the year.
Yeah.
A.J. Brown,
yeah.
Devontae Smith,
yeah.
Jalen Hurts,
yeah.
And Kyle Manungai.
There you go.
So I'm watching that game and watching my percentage go from 40 to 30 to 20 to 5 by the time that game was over.
So I'm on the golf course on Black Friday with the fam, and so okay. little guy Jude has DeAndre Swift, and so he getting super pissed every time that Manungai, because we had the game up on the phone in the golf cart. And every time Manungai would touch the ball, he'd be very, very mad. So we learned that if you're going against him in fantasy, you call him not my guy. Not Kyle Manungai. That's Kyle, not my guy.
Okay.
So he was not your guy this weekend. But that kid, he can play. He can play.
Right.
I like him.
Swift had 18 carries, dude. Like,
yeah, that
we're
too.
Playing 4 quarters,
yeah,
kid.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's already like,
7 yards a tote.
He's also already, like, clinched the one seed. I'm just relax, dude.
In the family league?
Yeah, you're out here. I'm going to buy you whatever chips you want. You got nothing going on, okay? Don't worry about DeAndre Swift. Just hit your 4-iron and let's go.
Dad's 2-11 in the work league, okay? Can we have some perspective here?
It's true. I actually was 1-11 at that moment.
Ouch.
Yeah, but sorry, Steiny. Gonna jump up and bite you every now and again.
That guy is such a W.
All right, so Stink's gonna join us in 5 minutes. Mark Schlereth, and we're gonna talk all this out. I find what's going on in the league to be fascinating and a fun watch. But some people I know, when it comes to parity, they're just sort of like, eh, I don't know. I don't know what to sink my teeth into. Boy, I look at the other leagues right now, and don't you wish you had a league full of teams that could all kind of play with each other, as opposed to the NBA and Major League Baseball, who have 30 teams, but there's six that are trying, and then varying levels of everything else going on. I think the NFL's completely got the fix. Hard cap and hard floor is the answer in sports. It'll never happen, but it's the answer.
I don't think it could ever happen in either sport. Basketball, there's not enough stars to go around to cap or floor and fix that.
I guess.